Well, welcome into episode number 67. I'm Dan Edwards, and this is A Greater Dayton. Here we highlight our hometown heroes who inspire, inform, and entertain. I'm so glad that you have joined our podcast family, which includes the Dayton Business Journal, Chomsky Enterprises, Boost Engagement, as well as Montgomery County Economic Development. You know, this episode, you will find, is truly inspirational about a group of young men who not only turned their lives around from a world of drug usage, but also about how they are now reaching back to help others reclaim their lives by giving them hope while teaching them a trade that hopefully leads to a fulfilling career. But just ahead, I'm going to talk with Kip Morse, and we're going to talk about his mission to rebuild souls at Emerge Recovery and Trade Initiative when A Greater Dayton continues. But first, exciting news with Eric Collins. Eric is the Executive Director of Montgomery County Economic Development. Eric, thanks so much for your support of A Greater Dayton, allowing us to tell these great stories. Now, in upcoming podcasts, we're going to continue to share great economic news involving some exciting initiatives that are impacting our region as well as our world.
And you know, Dan, I think this is just the beginning, because the goal would be to spotlight many of those, we call them resource partners, that are out there every day working together as a team to help provide value to not only existing businesses, but to companies that are coming to the Dayton area, to Montgomery County, the region. In March, kind of talk about foreign direct investment, FDI, it's known as, and we wanted to spotlight well over a decade-long initiative called the Dayton Region Israel Trade Alliance, DRITA for short. And that's where we are working with high-end tech companies that are in Israel that are looking to the United States to do business in. With March, we're going to talk and spotlight the Dayton International Airport. And then finally, we look at the entrepreneurial side of things. And we're going to spotlight how over the years, Montgomery County in the Dayton region has really cultivated more entrepreneurship. And we're going to spotlight the Entrepreneur Center, also known as the EC, which is at the hub at the arcade. Also, we're going to highlight our UAS, Unmanned Aerial Systems, and how we are aligned with the Dayton Development Coalition, Jobs Ohio, as well as here in Montgomery County to grow that industry cluster here, right here in the area.
Well, thanks, Eric, for leading Montgomery County Economic Development, and I look forward to part two of Moving Forward. It'll be our next podcast of A Greater Dayton. All right, welcome back, and as we take a closer look here at Emerge Recovery and Trade Initiative, recently established by three businessmen who saw the need to give former drug addicts and emancipated youth a second chance while providing training to create a fulfilling career, renewing their soul via loving mentorship and discipleship. Let's welcome the driving force behind this initiative, Kip Morse. Welcome to A Greater Dayton. Great to have you.
Great to be here.
Kip, you are a living example of the old biblical adage, give a man a fish and he eats for a day. You teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. And at Emerge Recovery and Trade Initiative, you are teaching men and women to fish for a lifetime, aren't you?
Yeah, we are actually. So, and that's just exciting to be a part of being able to show people how they can fish, you know, get a fish
sure.
every day.
Let's begin with your journey here. At age 35, you had an epiphany.
Yeah. So up until age 35, I was pretty much, I was always successful in business, but, just really, into, you know, the world kind of revolved around me. And at 35, I had a kind of a spiritual awakening, we'll call it. And it was at that point that I realized that, you know, everything that I had experienced up to that point in my life that God wanted to use, to help others in the way that I was being helped by somebody who came along beside me and mentored me. So, at 35, is kind of, when that experience occurred. And then really, you know, I'm 55, so for the last 20 years, it's really just been kind of walking that out.
Well, Kip is a CEO of Five Star Heating and Cooling, a very successful HVAC company that employs over 200 people in the Dayton, Cincinnati, and Columbus area. Why did you take on this monumental task?
So my spiritual paradigm, I go by a Christian spiritual paradigm. So, you know, the way that we operate our company, the way I operate my life is, you know, based on biblical principles. So, you know, one of those, one of the most important things from being a Christian businessman, and I'm partners with my brother, and I have some other partners as well that share my paradigm, is that the things that God gives us to steward over, if he gives us a little bit and we do well with a little bit, then he gives us more. And as long as we can utilize those resources that aren't even ours to begin with, and when I say resources, you know, monetary resources, as long as we can use those to help what Jesus calls the least of these. And these are people that need food, that need clothes, that are in prison, that are in the hospital. And, you know, literally what Jesus says is, to the extent that we help those people, it's as if we're doing it unto him. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the underlying principles in my belief structure that motivates me to do that. Plus, for me, having somebody who is willing to do that for me and really walk that out to where I could clearly see, you know, I have a great example of what that looks like from the guy who discipled and mentored me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way we look at it is, you know, there's two types of treasures. You have earthly treasures and you have heavenly treasures. And, you know, what we are trying to accumulate is the heavenly treasures. And those are the things that, you know, don't rust, that don't, you know, dissipate. Those are the things that are eternal. So that's really the perspective that we have. When I say we, myself and my brother.
Hey, Kip, former mentee Mike Brown shared some emotional comments about how his journey began with you.
Okay, so I met Kip almost 7 years ago. Prior to meeting Kip, I was in a rehabilitation program. I had spent 2.5 years there, completed the program, was living in transitional housing. Once the program was completed, I signed up to work for them, you know, for 6 months as a coordinator, you know, just to help out and to give back, you know, what I received from the program. So during that 6 months was a time for me to kind of figure out what I wanted to do, you know, with the rest of my life, you know, what career path was I going to take. I had time to figure that out. And I actually met his brother at, you know, the rehab program's intake center, where we'd go once a week to bring in new guys that needed help. I met his brother, Brett Morris, there. And, you know, I just asked him, hey, I need a job. I'm ready. You know, I want to do something with my life. I need something, you know, good, a career. And he, you know, he gave me that shot. And I've been working with them for almost 7 years now. And
I know it's an emotional thing for you, man. What do you say to those listening to this podcast right now that are in your position that need a second chance? What do you say to them?
If you're given a chance, you know, from somebody you trust, and if you're given a chance to walk through some of those doors, you know, to walk through them, and
just take that step.
Yeah.
As you listen to Mike and the emotion in his voice, he's come a long way, hasn't he?
He has. And so what we do is we merely point towards a door. And then whether, you know, individuals choose to walk through that door is up to them. You know, a lot of them do, some don't. Mike was one who has chose to walk through every door that's been presented to him, to the point to where he went from essentially, you know, being in a recovery program to now where he has a house, his kids, everything that was stripped from him during the course of his addiction. Not only has he regained those back, but 100-fold on top of that.
Also, Kip, I want to share with you how important your leadership has meant to another mentee, Chris Cohen.
I mean, it's one thing to want to help people, but if you don't know how to do it, you can't. You know, if you come from it, if you have a background from it, you have the experience, you have knowledge on it, you have something to go off of, you know. Me personally, I have desire to help people, and I know how to help them. As to where if you take somebody who went to college for it, they might have read something out of a book, but when it comes to an actual situation, what are they going to tell the kids? What are they going to tell the person? How are they going to walk them? How can they relate to it?
It gives you some credibility.
It gives you a little credibility, absolutely. Yeah.
So what convinced you to come on board with Kip?
Well, honestly, it didn't take much convincing. I was at the bottom of a hole. I had destroyed every aspect of my life. Okay, I just got out. I was homeless. I had nothing. There wasn't many people in this world that would even give me an opportunity. And sure, I wanted to fix my life. I wanted everything back. But wanting something doesn't give it to you. Kip provided me with opportunities. Everything we had, it was the opportunities, resources. So, and it's not even just the opportunity. It provided me with an ability to fix everything without stressing while doing it. Because if you remove stress from it, it makes it a lot easier. So with the housing factor of it, I was provided with a job. Okay, so I had resources to do that. The job helped me to fund it, but they provided me with housing as well. So I didn't stress about losing where I was going to stay, any of that. I was able to fix everything in my life. Had I not had these opportunities, it would have taken me 5-10 years to put everything back together.
How long is it taking you up to this point?
This week is 2 years, and I went from homeless. He started me out as a scrapper, then became a helper. Then I was a lead installer. Now I'm a field supervisor. I live in Oakwood. I have a very nice place. I've got a motorcycle I just bought, my truck. I've got everything I need right now. Financially, my license, I had to clear up cases across 3 different states, which cost me almost $20,000. So it was every aspect of what Kip did. It wasn't just the job. You can offer somebody a job, but you still have everything else. So it's just the Emerge, what they're building now is, it's going to change so much. I'm excited to see what it's going to do.
And you're part of that, man.
I'm part of that, and I'm blessed to be.
Some powerful words in there as well from Chris, Kip. And one of the things you said is the reason that you go through something is to help others go through it. And it looks like these two gentlemen, Mike and Chris, they have certainly looked up to you, and you've made a big impact on their lives.
Kind of what's happening with Five Star Heating and Cooling Group. The two guys that I'm partners with at Emerge, they've kind of been what we call second chance employers, just willing to give people who maybe have made some poor decisions in their past, and the consequences of those are, you know, a record where they can't be hired by other companies. Because we are second chance people ourselves, we've struggled with addiction, made some poor decisions during the course of those addictions. All three of us are like-minded to that regard. Chris is an example, you know, again, of somebody who, not only is, willing to, you know, walk through those doors that we spoke of, but he also knows that the reason why, you know, a lot of the hard moments of his life, the tough moments of his life that he went through, were so that he can help others get through those. Who better to show somebody how to get through it than somebody who's gone through it? And that's kind of, that's kind of the culture that we've created at our company, is just that, not only are you, you know, not only are you being mentored, but you should be mentoring somebody else who's a little further down the line, and they can follow that individual as they walk it out.
In your marketplace ministry, as you talk, you and your two business partners purchased the old Greene County Career Technical Center, massive sprawling campus, 2960 West Enon Road, just outside of Xenia, for about $1.7 million. Man, that is truly putting your money where you and your partner's mouths are. You know what I'm saying?
What's nice is that when you use your money in the way that we are, we get a much like, when you donate to a charity, you're kind of relying on them to spend the money, you know, and you want to, you know, to be able to get the best return on that as far as people being helped. But, you know, like in a building where we have a guy who owns a roofing company, a guy who owns a plumbing company, guy that owns a heating and cooling company, we're able to get a lot more bang for our buck.
Right.
Because a lot of the work that needs to be done here, we can do it at our cost instead of having to pay a contractor to right. do it. And then we have, you know, also, you know, more control over, you know, how the money is being utilized.
Sure. I mean, you can't do this marketplace ministry without those business partners that we talk about. Doug Van Dyke, who's the managing partner with Van Martin Roofing Company, as well as Chris Adams, who is the CEO of Narrow Path Plumbing. You kind of said that God magnetized you to these gentlemen and vice versa.
Yeah, so it's really kind of neat how God brought the three of us together. And if any one of us weren't part of this, the deal wouldn't have happened just for different reasons. But with Chris, a couple years ago, Chris approached me because he wanted some mentoring in his business. He had kind of seen the success of my business, plumbing and heating, cooling. A lot of that's, you know, a lot of that translates back and forth as far as marketing and procedures and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'd been mentoring him for a couple years. So we'd grown, you know, close through that. Again, he's a second chance employer. He's got the same heart that I have for people that have struggled with addiction. And then, so that's how I met Chris. Doug, I had met just, there's a guy that I was mentoring. I'll make a real long story short, that was really had really been doing all the right things. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's just tough in the beginning when you're trying to transition from addiction and then into recovery. But it was around Christmas time and he'd lost his job. He had just found out he had cancer. And he called me on the phone excited, say, man, a guy just gave me $1,000. And I'm thinking, hallelujah, because we've been praying that praying for him. And that guy was Doug Van Dyke. So I was like, well, who was it? Doug Van Dyke. That's the first time I heard his name. And then God brought us together. We served on the same board at a transitional recovery, ministry. And that's how I met him in person. But I'd heard about him before that. And again, that's just the kind of guy that he is. He's got a heart for people who are, you know, in recovery, and he's a very giving person. And he understands that, you know, it's not his money, you know, it's God's money, and, you know, he's just a steward of that.
Kip, you're also widening the net to include emancipated youth, you know, young adults who are aging out of foster care that you say there's a real gap here, and you even qualified it as an epidemic.
Yeah, so, you know, people may or may not be aware, but number one, just the amount of kids that are in foster care due to the epidemic of drug, you know, the drug epidemic.
Right.
So whether it be parents dying, and just, you know, so there's a lot more kids that have been put into the foster care system. But, what's really kind of troublesome, and it's just a gap in the system, is when a young man or young woman ages out of foster care, turns 18, there's a lot of benefits that are available to these individuals, but because they don't have the adult relationships, they don't have the life skills they need to fully take advantage of these benefits, a lot of times what they'll do is lose the benefits. And once you lose the benefits, it's kind of hard to get them back. What we're looking to do here is provide a place to where, if they want to, they can not only be able to take advantage of all the benefits that are available to them, but also get on a career path in which they can lead a productive life. And also form relationships, deep relationships with people, and have a place where they can call home and have a family.
I ask all my guests on A Greater Date in this final question, how do we all make it a greater date?
It's in humility, serve others in humility. That's a great way to make greater Dayton a greater place, is serving others. Find a way that you can serve others, whatever that looks like for you. If you're a business owner, there's things you can do there to where you can have a huge impact if you choose to. You know, whatever God's entrusted you with, utilize that to the best of your ability to serve others in love. And that right there, if you can do that, you're going to make this little slice of the world we live a much better place. And let me tell you, if you just affect one life, if you can just affect one life, the ramifications of affecting one life. You talked to Mike Brown earlier. You know, he's got four kids and a wife. You know, what kind of effect is him being able to walk this out had on them? And in turn, what effect will that have on their kids? So just helping one person I mean, that can have a huge effect on Dayton and the area that we live in.
And you started it all, bro. Good job, man. God bless you on this worthy mission. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Well, just ahead on A Greater Dayton, we're going to hear from Jeff Sorrell, Executive Director, and Elaine Bonner, Director of Philanthropy at Emerge Recovery and Trade Initiative, as A Greater Dayton continues. But first, I want to say hi to Mike Imhoff, President and CEO of Shumsky Enterprises and Boost Engagement. Good to see you, Mike, and give us an update on your employee engagement rewards program for small businesses.
We have found this niche where we're mixing really our Shumsky brand and our Boost Engagement brand together. And organizations who bring new employees in, one of the largest important initiatives they have is getting the employees to feel comfortable that they're in the right place. So it's engaging them on the first day. So we started very heavily marketing across the country new hire kits. And these new hire kits have turned into also employee appreciation gifts. And the people who buy them are usually the HR people who are realizing we need to get our people engaged in the company early. And so it's a first step. And so our Shumsky brand uniquely positions us to be able to put these kits together. We do kitting here in Dayton. We have a warehouse distribution center. We put these together to deliver a very impressive kit depending on the budget the company has. And that's the start. And so we've even done interview kits. So you go to an interview and you have a good interview. You leave a gift with them specifically or follow up as thank you for interviewing. And if anybody wants to find out more, feel free to go to shumsky.com or you can also go to culture.hr.
All right, welcome back to A Greater Dayton as we're featuring a truly wonderful organization that is helping former drug addicts transition into a new career by teaching them a skill that hopefully sustains them into a new fulfilling life. Jeff Sorrell, Executive Director, and Elaine Bonner, Director of Philanthropy at Emerge Recovery and Trade Initiative, join us now. Welcome to A Greater Dayton.
Thank you, Dan. My pleasure.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with your podcast.
Yeah, well, we're tickled to have you. And Jeff, you've been in this space for a while. For like 20 years, you were the Executive Director of Life Enrichment Center in Dayton. Dude, you were a couple of years away from retirement. Why did you take on this huge challenge?
You know, I think part of it is because I'm very passionate about the mission of Emerge Recovery and Trades Initiative. I've spent the last 40 years of my life dealing with people who have been traumatized, stigmatized, and marginalized. And I'm my goal is to see people have an opportunity for a new life, for their the recovery journey to continue and to be successful at the end of it. Our goal is freedom here. We want people free from whatever it is that's holding them back from, you know, a new life.
So. Yeah. This is really personal for you, isn't it?
It's very personal. I come from a background. I've never known my real father. Had an abusive stepfather, caught up in drugs. And at an early age, at 21 years old, I was sitting in a federal penitentiary for possession, sale, and transfer of narcotics. And got out of there and continued with some drug use and committed my life to Christ in 1982 and been serving him ever since and cut my teeth on prison ministry, jail ministry, psychiatric nursing homes, regular nursing homes, emergency rooms, anything and everything, food pantry, soup kitchens. And then I founded the Life Enrichment Center in 2002 to continue serving that population and been doing it ever since.
Elaine, you too have been in faith-based organizations. You were at CJ for many years, as I recall, but this ain't CJ, is it?
No, Dan, it definitely is not. Well, I do miss my students there, my interactions. Mm-hmm. This is going to take my skills from CJ in a whole new level, and I'm so grateful to CJ for preparing me to take on this, what we call God-sized vision.
God-sized indeed. My golly, you and Jeff took me on a tour of the facility, which is the former Greene County Career Tech Center. It's 180,000 square feet. I was glad I wore comfortable shoes. I mean, you must get your steps in each and every day.
Absolutely, and I'm still trying not to get lost on each tour I give. But what is going to be so unique about this place is that everything will be housed on site. There will be no transportation issues for our residents.
Well, Jeff, share with me the curriculum. How many career paths do you foresee here at Emerge?
I would say to start out with, there would be at least 8 different career paths that people could look into. We want to be very diversified. We want people to have a lot of choices. We think choice is important for people who sometimes have not had choices in their life, whether it's through their own fault or just circumstances. But, you know, we're hoping that there's heating and air conditioning, that there is plumbing, electrical, culinary training, core construction. There could also be opportunities for people to learn how to do digital marketing, call center, also photography studio. So we want lots of different opportunities for people.
Will certifications be available as well?
When we're fully up and running and operational, there will be accredited certifications that will be available for people, as well as job placement. So you come in here and you go through the training in the trade schools. And when you get out of the trade school, boom, there's going to be somebody that's going to hire you. Part of the responsibility and commitment of the people that are housed in this building as far as businesses, they have to be willing to intern, apprenticeship, and also hire people that have gone through the program. The adult education building, or former adult education building, is going to be our, what we would call our front door. So if you've already been through a recovery program such as Woodhaven or one of the others, and you've already done your 90 days, then you would come to our front door and you would go through assessments. And that's where you would have intensive outpatient programs. That's where you would have counseling, group meetings, peer support. That's where all that would take place. And at that point in time, we would determine, are you a good fit to come into Emerge Recovery and Trade? And then when you're in the transformational housing here in the main building, there will be ongoing support systems in place and an ecosystem of support, care, love, and that sort of thing in this building.
But my understanding is you have to go through a recovery program before you come to Emerge. You do not take active drug addiction, do you?
That would be correct. By the time you get to us into the transformational housing, you will have already been through a recovery program, or a detox program, I should say, and are clean when you come to us.
As director of philanthropy, I mean, I'm sure you're writing a lot of grants to support this mission.
Yes, the grant writing is a component of it, but I really think that I have the best job in the world because I am able to connect with people who have a huge heart for helping people, and I get to explain this wonderful vision that we're having here that's like nowhere else, and they can truly change a life.
There's pieces of this everywhere in the country. People do trade schools, people do recovery housing, residential housing, all that, but to have it all located in one location with businesses that are hiring, that are second chance employers, who have 60% of their workforce are people that have come out of the recovery community, and to have all those places in all those things in one location is pretty amazing. And to my knowledge, there's no place like this in the entire country that has all of those things housed in one building, along with, you know, we'll have a event space in here that does catering and have meetings and weddings and karate tournaments and that sort of thing. But there's also going to be a diner that's open to the public, hopefully a salon that's open to the public, as well as the people that we're serving in here. So those opportunities will be available for the people as well.
I'm sure you're going to be giving more tours in the future as other communities are going to pony up and have something like this in their neck of the woods, don't you think?
I totally agree. And that is our hope down the road. Once we get this up and running and have a few years under our belt with outcomes, this could definitely be replicated in other parts of the country. Dayton is not alone in its crisis in opioid addiction and addictions in general. So we look to hopefully be a leader in this area and innovative, and with the concept of our owners really starting this themselves, a private industry initiative here, definitely we hope this can spread across the country.
How soon will you be accepting applications, and how does that process work?
So if everything goes as planned with the architects and the county inspectors, we're hoping to start taking men into our program by mid-July of this year. And then as we do the other phases, that'll be the first phase. As we do the other phases, then the women will come on board, and also the emancipated youth will come on board as well. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have quite a few people in here. We'll be up and running full steam ahead, but by the end of the year, we hope to have other people in here that we're serving, and we can have some good outcomes and see some lives change and lives saved. So
Well, I ask all my guests on A Greater Dayton this final question. How do we all make it a greater Dayton? And I think Emerge is probably the answer to that question.
It truly is. And what I have found since I entered this new mission is that everyone wants to help each other. We're better when we work together, when we form partnerships, collaborations. Every time I bring someone for a tour or go to a meeting, people are telling me I need to reach out to other people to bring more people into the fold. And, you know, when we work together, we can truly be stronger.
I think it's all about working together. We can't be working in silos. It takes every domain. It takes every part of society working together in collaboration to see people's lives change and to provide them all the services and opportunity and support that they need. It doesn't do someone much good to get them a job if they're still living under a bridge addicted to heroin. So it really takes all of us working together. We need to learn to play well in the sandbox together and highly collaborative and relational. That's the big thing. Everything I've ever accomplished in my career has been due to relationships, and that's what we have to do.
Thank you both for your time today and having me out, and good luck, and may God bless this endeavor, man. It's so worth it.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Appreciate your interest and your support. God bless.
Well, man, I told you it was going to be an inspiring podcast, and if you'd like more information and how to connect with my guests today, I've linked their contact info to the podcast notes. Our next podcast, by the way, excited about that as well. Listen for part two of Moving Forward with Montgomery County Economic Development, focusing on the tremendous growth in and around the Dayton International Airport, as well as an update on DRITA, Dayton Region Israel Trade Alliance, and how our countries are collaborating to provide the next generation of unmanned aerial systems. Well, this has been A Greater Dayton, powered by the Dayton Business Journal. Find out why over a million people each month rely on trusted DBJ reporting. Subscribe now for in-depth team coverage found nowhere else but in the Dayton Business Journal. A Greater Dayton is also brought to you by Shumsky Enterprises and Boost Engagement, as well as Montgomery County Economic Development, as leaders are leveraging strategic partnerships in workforce, finance, education, infrastructure, and more, reducing risk, lowering costs, and increasing speeds to market for our valued business partners, locating and expanding their footprint in Montgomery County, Ohio, and the entire Dayton region. Well, this has been a Pivotal Media production. Pivotal Media, integrated marketing, public relations, commercial, and podcast production services. PivotalMediaLLC.com, moving your marketing in new directions. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Well, I'm Dan Edwards. Thanks so much for your time, and I urge you to tell others about A Greater Dayton podcast. Like and share. I sure would appreciate it. And by the way, you can binge listen to all 67 episodes of A Greater Dayton on Spotify. Well, now it's time for you to go out and make it A Greater Dayton.